On this episode of the podcast, I have with me Greg Altschul. He is the Vice President of Technology at FanDuel. We're going to be talking about personal team company goal alignment. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's a lot of different moving parts to making the business work. You know, we have the person on the IC level, the team, the company. There are different goals at each of these levels. And how do we make sure there's alignment, reduce conflict interest, goal setting and transparency? That's really important. So super excited to cover this topic with you, Greg. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. I'm pretty sure everyone knows what FanDuel does, but just in case, can you just tell us what the business is about and before we dive into the topic?
Sure. Yeah. So FanDuel is the number one sports book, online sports book in the country. And we also have an iGaming division, which is online slots, table games, live dealer. That's specifically the area that I'm focused in. And we also have horse racing. We have DFS and those sorts of products as well.
Awesome. All right. So the topic, and I guess before we get into the nuts and bolts, I think actually we should maybe start at the top, right? So individual contributors, you know, obviously we're always focused on making sure we're setting goals. Everyone's driving towards goals. You manage teams, there's team goals, and you obviously report up, and there's company goals. When we're going through this goal setting process, obviously you and your position have multiple different areas you're managing to, multiple different, and we could talk about, you know, how you set those goals, that we could also touch that. But when you actually sit down, you think about your job and you have all these different goals that you're trying to set, seems like a lot. How do you as a leader help frame it correctly so that you can actually go and start at each particular level setting the right goals and making, obviously in partnership with the people, I'm not saying you're setting them by yourself, but how do you get your frame of mind in the right place to make sure that you're seeing up and down on this goal list?
Yeah, sure. So virtually every company I've worked at as a manager, we've set goals at the top first. So it's a top-down process. And then the personal goals are obviously individual to the folks who are setting them for themselves. But usually we're talking about commercial goals, setting sort of North Stars commercial goals, what we want to do for the business, what we want to do for the customer. And then as those sort of trickle to the various groups, technology being one of them, product being another, we take it and define what it means for us, right? So if we want to grow revenue by a certain clip, right, we would say in technology, well, in order to do that, we would need to be up, right, available. So we might take that goal and translate it into more uptime versus last year, right? So just as a quick example. And then we would, at the technology level, we would set goals, a handful of goals. At my level, we don't want too many. It's a handful of sort of top-level goals that would then trickle down to the teams. And the various areas would, again, distill what these things mean for their areas.
I guess as you're going through this process, you know eventually you're going to sit down, you know, with a team, and the team is made up of individual contributors. And you've had some visibility discussions with the people you report to, and you see potentially bigger pieces of the picture. You see some more strategic components, and you have to take this back and help the team understand their role down to the IC person. And also you're sitting there asking them to provide what they want to accomplish. What are their goals? It doesn't have to be perfect one-to-one alignment, but obviously, you know, in a perfect world, there's really good alignment. But you also have to make sure you're keeping their focus on the things that potentially are helping all the other components work. And it seems a lot more art than science. I think this is the part of management that gets really interesting. And when you're communicating strategy down to the IC level and you're seeing it go down, obviously you don't, you know, I know you have a team of managers under you, but as you see it going down further, how does that stay clear so that it is actually being funneled down to the right level and consumed at that right level?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think the most important thing for everybody understanding what our objectives are and using that to help them set what their objectives are at their levels, whatever that might be, is transparency. So when I'm done setting my goals for my org, right, what I will do is usually have an all hands, something like that, where everyone's invited, and we present these goals. It becomes clear what the business wants out of our particular part of the organization, and why they want it, importantly. And then we can distill it down. So like I said in my previous answer, is that, you know, we distill it down, further refine the top level goals. And as that process happens, folks can see how these top level goals get more and more refined to their individual unit of work that they might be doing. So if it's availability, that means something different to a software engineer than it does to a DevOps engineer, right? So once it gets set at their level, you know, we're working at my level, then my manager's level, then it goes down to the squad level, right? And then eventually to the individual. And once they set their goal, whatever it might be, whatever, let's say, service they're working on, availability then becomes very, very specific to that service that they're responsible for. And when they look at availability and their service, they can very easily connect it back to the top level goal, which is availability at 99.99%, for example. So again, it really is rooted in transparency, making sure that people understand what it is we're trying to achieve, why we're trying to achieve it.
And I guess as you're dealing with the IC level, and obviously in this example, it's very clear what the personal goal would be. I guess from time to time, it might come up that, you know, I am trying to, as a personal goal, trying to achieve something slightly different. Maybe I am wanting to, you know, potentially move into a manager or lead role. And I do obviously know that the company does need me to focus on these things. How do you work with an employee at an individual contributor level to help them navigate, hey, we need to do this? Obviously, it's been distilled down to your level, but your personal goals can fit into these bigger objectives. And how do you manage that process for them?
Yeah, well, I think in the example that you mentioned, where someone's trying to move into a lead or, let's say, a manager, it is in the company's interest for that person to take those steps in their career. So I think that those things just naturally align with their personal goals and the business goals. You know, obviously, everyone wants to see growth in their career. We want to see folks at the company grow. So if someone says that they want to make these moves in their career, we're going to work with them to make sure that they can do it. Again, I really do think that it's about transparency, right? They need to be honest about what they want to see happen in their career at FanDuel, and we will work with them to make it happen. You know, it's a growing company, and there are roles that we need filled, and we have folks who want to just slot into these roles. We'll help them do that, and we'll make it part of their goals and objectives for the year to help them get there.
I guess as you're helping them navigate, and you're helping them, you know, understand what they could do, and I think transparency is a cornerstone. I guess we have been, you know, depending on, you know, your particular company, and by your, I mean, you know, some of the listeners and people where they work. I mean, people have returned to the office, people are hybrid, people are remote. I think the concept of safer spaces so that people can actually have these discussions has been evolving and changing these last 3 or 4 years that we've gone through the pandemic. How do you foster, I guess, an environment so someone can go, hey, Greg, you know, I really think this is great. I'm behind the goal, but this is also something I want to accomplish, that they can feel comfortable and make sure that they can communicate clearly with you.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to trust and honesty about what they want to achieve. And in that sense, I think actions really do speak louder than words. They could tell me that they want to work on a particular personal goal, whatever it might be, whether it's at FanDuel or externally, and I can tell them that I'm going to work with them on that. But if I don't follow through, or they see some sort of potentially blowback for being honest with me about a particular goal, then clearly that person is not going to trust me, and that the word is going to spread, right? They're going to talk to their colleagues, and I wouldn't want that either. So I really do think it is about acting on what it is that I say I'm going to help them with. So if someone says, hey, in 5 to 10 years, as silly as it might sound, in 5 or 10 years, I don't want to be a candle. I want to run a bakery or something. I really, that's my passion, right? How do I make that goal happen? I'll say, well, there's a lot of things that, there are a lot of synergies, actually, if you think about it. And we can work on those things here so that while you're here, we're growing to where you want to go. And we're also helping you grow a FanDuel while you're here. And in that example, it might be something like management skills, right? They're going to have a staff. And if they're a manager on my team, we can work on growing those skills, right? And the follow through there is what matters, right? I listened to them. It wasn't even remotely potentially having to do with FanDuel, but I'm going to help them develop these skills and in any way that I can while they're at FanDuel.
Are we shifting from the concept? And I guess, you know, I don't know how to phrase this, but the idea of forever employees, I mean, not that they're forever, but really long-term, people are joining. We don't want them to leave. Because I think there's a concern when it comes to, let's say the bakery example, that if I'm an employee and I mention that, you might think, well, I'm not committed to the cause. I'm looking to leave, which is then viewed as a, you know, stereotypically a bad thing for FanDuel to have an employee that might want to leave in a couple of years. Versus, are we maybe moving towards a trend of, hey, let's embrace this person. If they're going to be here 4 years and they want to leave on the fifth year, get the most out of them, help them better themselves so that when they leave, they've left a better version as a person, employee, whatever you want to call it, than the person that started. That will attract more people like that person. Are we seeing a shift? Are we, because the way you've kind of described that example, it resonates with me. And I think it goes against a little bit of, well, we don't want to think that they're not here and committed to the job type of narrative.
Yeah, I actually think that they can be very committed to their job while they're here. I, as a manager, of course, my goal is to have them stay, right? I would like them to stay for as long as possible, and I would hope that they're happy to do so. But I'm not going to change someone's passions, right? And if we can embrace the passions and talk honestly and openly about what those passions are, then they'll leave in 4 years if that's their plan versus 1 year, right? So what I'm doing is I'm working with my philosophy is that I'm going to work with you to ensure that you're the happiest you can be and growing at a rate that you know is exciting for the individual, so that they do stay as long as they can. And if it's not 4 years, maybe it's 5 or 6 or 7 years, right? And while we're doing that, in the case that this person might be a manager, they're turning around and they're using those that growth to help their people grow. Right. So it's not just, I don't view it as just, I'm just working on this one individual. I'm working, especially in the case of a manager, I'm working on this individual to make them a better manager in their position, right? Preparing them for whatever they want to do in the future. And they're turning around and doing that to the rest of the team. So I don't just view it as like a one-to-one relationship. It's my whole team that is growing based on the relationships that I have with my folks and the goals that I'm helping them achieve in their current role.
I quite like that. I actually subscribe to the idea that you have somebody as an employee as long as you do. I think we're kind of moving past and away from the notion that, you know, losing an employee while no one likes it is that detriment that we like, well, I'm not going to have an opportunity to replace them. And I think some of that goes back to, we hire people, we're not sure how we hired this exceptional performer. They come in, we've helped them improve that, and they leave. And all of a sudden, as the manager, we're left with a void of having to replace that person, which is now the big problem. I think as we kind of are seeing that dynamic and things are starting to work out, and you're talking about, hey, listen, let's improve this person. If they're happy, they're executing, they give it their all, however long that is, I then don't have to worry about that person executing. They're doing the best. And then the next person in, hopefully we are capturing some of the data points, not focusing on tribal knowledge. We're actually getting more documented so that the next person in can actually pick up and continue from that person's, you know, point of time.
Yeah. And if you think about it, the more I know about a person's plans, the better I can plan around their plans. So if they plan to leave in about 4 to 5 years, right, that's really their passion, is they want to go do something else. If I know that, I can work with them on a succession plan, right? And if they're honest about it, I know when that timeline is, we could work together on that plan. Like you said, we could work on documentation, training up other people, to really make sure that when this person does leave, and they will, if that's their passion, that when they do leave, we're not left in a spot where we're in trouble. We have a gap because we didn't talk about it.
A little bit, I guess, outside the scope. I mean, it's, I guess, within the personal team, maybe not quite goal setting component. But as you just mentioned, a succession plan. And again, if we're looking at the company, the team, and the personal goal, should it be a part, and maybe you're doing this, but should it be a part of every manager's job to essentially be doing succession planning with each employee on a quarterly, you know, yearly basis? Is that something that you prescribe to? Is that something that's maybe too aggressive, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that I revisit with my team, and I have my managers talk with their reports about succession plans. I've done this at virtually every company I've been a part of. I think it's super important. We don't want sort of like a single point of failure. Not in a tech stack, and definitely not in an organization either.
In terms of obviously your position, you are managing a team. You're involved with goal setting with your managers and everything we've discussed. Obviously, you do report to somebody, and you also have goals, and you also have to fit in with the company. As you're looking at yourself and you're trying to work your personal goals into the broader spectrum of company goals, how do you approach, because obviously you want more responsibility, you want to have a more defined role, but obviously the actual levels that you could be promoted to start changing, right? As you get to the VP level, there's only a few more levels up. I mean, there's not that many. How do you kind of work around that to make sure that you're still growing regardless of title?
I love this question because my manager is as open and honest, or I'm as open and honest with my manager as I would expect that my reports be with me. Now, I report to the CTO of FanDuel. I reported to the same person at my previous company. So we've had this long relationship of sort of being honest and open with him about what my goals were. And he knew then, as he knows now, that that's to be a CTO at some point in the future. And he doesn't view that as a threat, and he works with me on it. So, you know, he's always teaching me things about what he's doing, right, to prepare me for what my future might hold. So he's very aware of that, and he's been working with me on it for years. And frankly, I'm not in a rush. Like, I think, you know, there's more that I can do in this role that gives me growth at FanDuel and whatever future role I might have at FanDuel or elsewhere, whenever that might be, and whatever the role might be. It may never be a CTO. That's fine. For me, you know, I view it as just growth, and growth is good. I may never have the title of a CTO, but as long as that's the goal, I'm going to grow. And as long as he's aware of it, he's going to help me grow. So that's what our relationship is like. It really is, it subscribes to my own philosophy about being honest and open and transparent.
I really love that. That's a great example of yourself and kind of your goals. And you mentioned growth. And I think as I've been listening to you, I mean, obviously transparency is the underpinning of everything. And I completely agree with you. When it comes to those goals and helping people understand the right goals to set, I think a lot of times I've been listening to you talk about, it's really understanding what those growth goals are, not just I just want to become a manager. Cause that's a very binary type of goal. Like that doesn't necessarily mean you might want to be a manager, but there might be other things you want in your growth. I want to be able to have a voice, leadership. When you hear employees, and it could be at any level, talk about those goals, because in your case, you might not be a CTO, and that's a great realization, but you want the responsibilities that lead towards that path. How do you help employees realize the difference between the actual tangible goal versus, hey, the skills you're trying to build along that growth path?
Yeah, I mean, I view it as like a North Star, right? So if you, as long as you have that North Star, you'll be working towards the skill, to working towards growing the skill set that you need to achieve that North Star. And again, whether you achieve it or not, that's not really the goal. The goal is growth, right? The CTO role might be a measure of that growth in the end, whether you got it or not, right? It doesn't mean you succeeded or failed in your career. It is just like whether you've achieved that North Star goal. I encourage all of my folks to have North Star goals. You'd be surprised how many people never even think about it. And when I encounter that in my organization, I immediately try to encourage them to think about these North Star goals, because if you don't have a goal, even if it's not a specific goal, like become the CTO, right? Even if it's just, it's more vague, perhaps. I want to move up a level or two in the next 3 to 5 years. It could be even vague like that. First of all, it helps us understand sort of where you're headed broadly. And we can, over time, work to refine the goal into something more specific. But it enables us to set growth goals that don't cause us to fumble through your growth in your career, right? Your careers don't develop by accident. They develop because people have set goals for themselves in their careers, and then they work slowly but surely to realize those goals. So I talk a lot about 3, 5, 10 year goals. 10 years might seem really far out for some people, but it comes really, really quick. So if you're not really thinking about that, these North Star goals, 3, 5, 10 years, maybe even beyond, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice. And I encourage my people to make sure that they have those goals so that the growth track that they're on is the right one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you see it a lot where people set goals and they get to the goal and then they fall off because it was a milestone that they had just pegged. And once they hit that, then there's nothing else that they feel they need to be working towards. I guess, what I'm hearing from you is really that North Star, that longer term growth goal, those skills that you want to acquire over longer term versus I want this particular thing. Because once you achieve that particular thing, you really don't have anything past that. And you spend a lot of energy getting to this milestone, but then above and beyond that milestone, now you have to go through and redefine what that is. And that's not easy. And it's not easy then to have a longer term plan that you're doing as a sequel to that. And I really appreciate the fact that, you've mentioned the North Star a couple times. And I think, that is the best managers I had were managers that were actually more focused about that North Star for me and thinking about, hey, not just today, tomorrow, but where is it you'd like to go? What are those skills that you're trying to accumulate over 20, 30 years? Not just, hey, I need you to hit these metrics so you can keep your job, which is always a scary part as an employee, because you have to hit metrics, but you need more than that.
Yeah, I think the only caveat to what you just said, in my view, is that some people, their goal is to become a principal engineer, and that's it. And then they just want to sit there and execute at that high level for the rest of their career. And I think that's perfectly okay. The only thing that I would say is that, so if you get there, and you get stuck because you didn't have that wasn't your goal, right? So if your goal wasn't to become a principal engineer and then stop, then you wind up getting stuck because you don't have the sequel, as you put it, right? That's problematic, right? Because that means that they won't be growing. And if they want to grow, but they don't have a plan, they'll be stuck there and that'll brood frustration. But if that is their goal and they get there, check the box, boom, I'm there. This is where I want to be. Then that's perfectly okay. They'd be satisfied, happy in their career, doing great work. The company's happy because we know that that's where they want to be. And we can help them execute at that level for the remainder of their career. That's fine.
Agreed. I think that's a great delineation in that example. And I think, you know, hopefully people know that the goal is what they want. And I think that's always the tricky thing for people. We always don't realize that, but obviously we have to kind of go through that and get there. Greg, I was going to say, I love your thoughts. I love the focus on transparency. You know, I think probably being on a team would be pretty cool because it'd be easy conversation. So I appreciate you sharing thoughts with us and how you kind of run your teams and set these goals with everybody. How can somebody touch base with you if they want to dig deeper in terms of some of the process and some of those things with you that you've talked about? What's a good way of touching base with you?
The best way to do that is to hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on there. I don't post much, but I'm sort of a lurker on there and I'm checking my messages. So certainly can send me a message there and I'll respond.
All right. We will include your LinkedIn handle in the show notes. Again, thanks for being on. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely. That's it for the episode. Be back again. Different guests, different topic. Until then, two things. One, I think it was a great conversation around really the all levels of goals that you will see across your career. And I think Greg gave us some great examples of himself, his team, big discussion around transparency, which I'm a big fan of. So share this episode with somebody else who might benefit from it. I think it was a great conversation and topic. Also, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know how we're doing on the podcast. Always love to hear from you. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.